And we are going to go in a moment into the Word of God. But before we do, praying mothers, in today's world, I'm going to be up front with you. We have a problem. We've got a big problem in today's world. The pillar and the anchor of the home has just about vanished.
Amen.
And so you may ask, what's the anchor in the pillar of home? It's mothers and motherhood. That's exactly what it is. And it's vanishing slowly. And there's lots of reasons why. We're going to get to that in a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessings on the service. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again for us being able to come to church this morning. We do thank You that we're able to celebrate Mother's Day in this nation. And Lord, godly mothers, Lord, we thank You for them. And Lord, we ask today that You would put a hedge of protection about each one of those, about their families. Lord, I ask You this morning to open our hearts and minds to Your Word. Hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in His name I pray, amen. Now, honestly, there is a vicious attack on the home and on women in our society today. And it's been going on for a long time. The devil's been doing this for years. He's been heading it up for years. You know, I was watching the news Friday, and I'd have probably been better off if I hadn't have turned it on. But I'm glad I did. And now they're wanting to do away with Mother's Day. It's racist. And which I ain't sure how they figure that out. But anyway, they want to call it Happy Birthing People's Day. We got problems in this country. I've been thinking about all of this. Immorality, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, juvenile delinquency, and abortion. I'm going to be up front with you. It can all be traced back to the destruction of the home and the destruction of motherhood.
Amen.
You see, mothers probably, and I'm going to lean more toward they are, the most single powerful person in the world. I don't know if they all know that, but they are. They are the most single powerful person in the world and influence in this world. Now, fathers, yes, they're supposed to be the head of the household. There's no doubt to that. I believe a father should have their place and be the head of the household. But a mother is really the heart of the home. And that's exactly what they've done is they've attacked the heart. And listen, if you want to get rid of something, that's what you attack. You attack the heart of whatever it is you're getting. I'll tell you a short little story. I won't go into all the details. I shot a deer one time. I wanted it to drop dead right there. I didn't want to chase it down. Guess what I shot for? That's right. I aimed for where the heart is. If you want to destroy something, that's what you're going to do. You're going to destroy the heart of whatever it is. And that's what they've done. They've attacked the heart of the home, which is the mom. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, all this other social garbage. It has ruined our mothers and fathers. I'm going to pick on fathers too, but being it is Mother's Day. Really an alarming amount of parents spend more time with social media than they do their own children, than they do family time, than they do church time. They spend all this time. I looked it up. The average parent spends, I'm not exaggerating, 9 hours a day on social media of some type. That's sad.
Amen.
That should not be. There's no way a person should spend that much time unless they're getting paid to do so. You shouldn't be on it that long. But you see, the world has they've made it almost impossible to be a mother. It's you got pressures from the work. You've got pressures from you got to have a career. You got all these pressures out there. And honestly, that wasn't God's intention for the woman. That it's nowhere in the Bible that says a woman needs to go and become some brain surgeon or any of that. That wasn't in God's plan. Now, it changed. And if you want to go back in history, you can figure moms have always worked. And don't ever let anyone tell you that, well, you're just a mom and you're just a homemaker. Don't ever let anybody look at you that way. Because without moms and homemakers, the children would be a mess. And if we look around, that's what we've got. We've got a mess. Because moms are the heart of the home, and that's what the devil attacked.
Amen.
World War II, and some of World War I, but mostly World War II, they had a real problem. All of the men were off at war. Who do you think arranged that war? Who was in charge of Hitler? I'd say Satan had a lot to do with it. He was in charge of it from the beginning. At that time, they needed ammunition over there. Without ammunition, you can't fight a war. They needed vehicles. Without vehicles, you can't get around. The transportation industry was falling apart. There was no men to work. So guess who had to go to work? The women. It was not God's plan for it to be that way.
Amen.
They had to go to work, and it's been that way ever since. You know, now it's just a way of life. If a mom ain't working, if a mom don't spend the first 20 years in college, and Lord, if she thinks about being a mom, that's not cool. That's not a cool. Listen, I've watched little girls. Got 5 granddaughters. I had to think about that. I got 5 granddaughters. Every one of them, and they're not warped in the mind, but every one of them wanted to play with baby dolls. And I'm like, Dad wasn't that away. Their grandpa sure wasn't that away. I didn't teach them that. They just knew it. And they paid attention to mom. My old, Jimmy's oldest daughter, I'm sitting in the house one day, and I'm kind of babysitting the grand girls. And I look over there. She's got a towel on her shoulder, and she's got her baby underneath her shoulder. What do you think she was doing? The same thing her mom was doing to her baby sister. She was breastfeeding her. It's just there. She was pretending, because guess what? One of these days, she'll have a child. And that's what women do. That's what girls grow up. They automatically know how to iron. It's just there. I can't iron a shirt. I put more wrinkles in it than it had when it came out of the dryer. You know, I have a hard time hanging one up. I'll hang one up and I can just grab it and go. She hangs it up and I got to undress it before I can put it on. You know, they're just a natural. It's because it's instilled in them from God to be moms. Now, yeah, little girls like to do, they like to play with cars and trucks. They like to play shoot 'em up, bang, bang. We had one when I was a little kid. She'd run around with us boys, and she was always Pocahontas when we played Cowboys and Indians. And ain't nobody going to kill her because she's Pocahontas. You don't want to kill Pocahontas. You know, but naturally, they just do that. It's in stored in them. But listen, it's not cool to be a mother anymore. In today's world, it just isn't cool. Texas. This is from watching the news. They're working on banning, and they had 6 days to do so. Now they got about 3 days, I think, or 4.
They're working on banning, I'm not saying this wrong, sexual reconstruction surgery on children. Yes. But here's the problem. They're working on banning it. I didn't know it was okay. I'm like, what? Where do we live? In our country. Take a 2-year-old. Well, it was supposed to be a boy. Then they're going to make it a boy. They had the agriculture guy from Texas, Sis Miller, come on there and speak. He's the agriculture, and he said, animals has got enough sense to know. He said, it's cowboy logic. Listen, I know some cowboys that never got out of the 5th grade, but they're a whole lot smarter than what we got running our country.
Listen, it shouldn't even be a topic in our country. That shouldn't even come up really in any country, but especially in the United States of America, where we founded this country on God's Word. It should never have come up. My brother-in-law got banned from Facebook because he said LGBTQ is evil. We're going to get banned from Facebook. It's evil. And it's just wrong and it's sinful. And they got mental issues. I'll have to agree. Listen, if you ever stand in the mirror and you think, am I male or female? You got problems. Horses ain't got that issue. Cows don't. Dogs don't. They understand what they are. My little dog I got at home, Weasel. She's a little girl. I know people laugh about her name, but that's because she's a weasel, trust me. She's got the attitude of a female. Somebody said something to me, why is she such a grouch? I said, she's a female. Well, that's true. They just have that. They're born with it. All right, I better go on. We're going to look at some people in the Bible. Sarah, she had Isaac in her 90s, all over prayer. Rachel, she had Joseph, all due to prayer. Ruth, she wanted to have a baby and she was barren. She prayed about it. She had a guy named Obed, and guess who he was? David's grandfather. Guess who Jesus came through? That group. Elizabeth. Elizabeth was barren. Her and her husband didn't have any children, and they were on up in age, and they'd been asking the Lord, and the Lord shows up, and it's a neat story because he shows up to her husband and says, hey, you're going to have a kid? And he kind of chuckled about it and like, really? He couldn't say nothing till after the kid was born. Guess who that was? John the Baptist, which was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. And think about what all these people I just mentioned accomplished. It's amazing. Do you realize if it wasn't for abortion that we may have cures for cancer? We may have cures for all sorts of... We might have the perfect person out there that is living for the Lord and preaching the gospel that everybody... You ever heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham preached. I couldn't tell you how many people profess salvation over Billy Graham. We had any preachers like that since then? Now, he grew crowds, and huge crowds, stadiums. Way back in the day, you had Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody. I think it was Spurgeon. I'm not positive. It might have been Moody. But... they said he would preach so loud because they didn't have microphones like we've got, that when he was done preaching that his throat would bleed. But he was preaching the gospel and he never backed off. They call him the Prince of Preachers. But I want to talk to you this morning. But think about what abortion's done. We don't know what all abortion has destroyed. Amen. Well, God wouldn't allow it. Why wouldn't he? America's that stupid. Now we're paying for abortions all over the world. That's smart. Anyway, I'm going to go on because I don't want to go there. I want to focus on one person, and she's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, her name is Hannah. She was a very special lady, and I entitled this Praying Mothers. And all of these women I mentioned a minute ago, Sarah, Rachel, Ruth, Elizabeth, they were praying moms. But Hannah, I wanted to mention Hannah. 1 Samuel, not Judges. I'm in Judges for some reason. I think the fan did it. Sounds good anyway. Blame it on something else. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to read 1 through 11. If you can, stand in respect to God's word. 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, and Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of the host of in Shiloh." You know we got people who go to church yearly? Oh, I'll go on. That's Christmas. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, was there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And now she vowed a vow, and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto you, unto the Lord, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to go in, I won't go totally into it. The razor upon his head, there was a thing called a Nazarite vow. And they would take a Nazarite vow. You ought to study up on that. It's in the book of Numbers. But that's what certain people had set themselves aside. Samson, by the way, was one of them. But I don't want to go into that this morning. I just want to stick to Hannah. Now, there's five things that she focused on. And I'll be honest with you, I believe that it'll help moms today. But not only moms, I believe it'll help anybody that's saved, that's a Christian. It'll help anybody if they'll do these five things. But the first thing I want to look at, so we'll call it number one, she had a priority. She had a priority in her life. She knew what she wanted and she knew what she desired, and that was a baby. That's what she wanted. See,
Elkanah, his other wife, made fun of her because she didn't have any children. So she was making fun of her because this wife of his had all these kids, and she was making fun of Hannah because Hannah had no children. And Hannah, it wasn't because she didn't want them.
It's just the Lord had shut her womb up, so she didn't have any. But it says she knew what she wanted, and she wanted a baby. She understood that's what women were designed for. Not being ugly, but I'm not designed to have children. Believe it or not, I don't have the parts that a woman has. They've got parts that I ain't got. I know there's a lot of them out there, the birthing people. Listen, you can call it birthing people all you want, but if you ain't a female, you ain't going to be birthing nothing. Amen? That's exactly right. We got a world that's really jacked up. She understood that's what it was supposed to be. She understood marriage and childbearing, that it's a normal thing, contrary to what the world teaches. You see, the world teaches that's odd. You ought to be able to want to go out and, oh, you got to graduate high school first, you got to go out and prom, get in a lot of trouble. Then when you leave prom, while I'm on prom, no, I'll leave that alone. You got to go to prom and then you got to go to college. Get all this education, and then once you get educated beyond your own intelligence, then you know it all. So, but that's not what the Word teaches. She had a priority. She knew what she was asking for. She prayed. Do you know prayer's a big thing? That's an important thing. That's how we talk to God. And God speaks to us through His Word. She prayed, and it wasn't just any prayer. Listen, she was serious about what she was praying. So serious that if you continue reading that story, that Eli looked at her and thought, yeah, she's drunk. She's over there, got tears flowing, her mouth's going, but she ain't saying nothing. And he thought, she's drunk. No, she was serious about what she was praying about, and she wasn't worried about what everybody else thought. Amen. She knew what she was wanting. She had that priority, and she was praying, and she had a purpose. She wanted a child to give, to be able to give him to the Lord in service. Verse 11 tells us that. Let me ask you a question. Well, think about it. When you go to the Lord in prayer, do you have a priority, the reason you're going to prayer? We should. It may just be to thank the Lord for everything that we got. Everything that He gives us every day of our life. Just the air we breathe. Sometimes it don't look too good. You know, in them brown days. But we're still breathing and we're still kicking. We ought to have a priority when we go into prayer, but we ought to have a purpose. And she wanted to give her child to the Lord for service. Have you given your child to the Lord? Think about it. Have you? Have you given your child to the Lord? Oh, let me say this. Not just the ones that are here. Some of you, the ones that you might have one day. Oh, I can't do that. Well, don't press yourself because the Lord can do lots of things. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm just a kid, because we've got some right back there, females. You know, I'm just a kid. I'm not married. And by the way, you need to be married. I'm not married. I don't want kids. They aren't in my plans. Really? They ought to be. But, you know, maybe you think a child would just be in the way of what? Careers, college, partying. I'd have to quit my job. I might have to not live in such an extravagant home. May have to get rid of our Corvettes and Lamborghinis if we had a kid, because that means I'm going to have to stay at home. You know, there's all kind of excuses that people come up with of why we shouldn't have a kid. The one I like is, is when I talk to these people, and some of them are kin to me.
When you guys gonna have some children?
Oh, you know, we're saving up money and we're doing this. Listen, if you waiting to do that, you ain't never gonna have a kid. But what's God say about it? That's what ought to be important to these little girls back here, that one of these days, believe it or not, if you do what you're supposed to, you're going to end up growing up, you're going to get married, and then you're going to have a child or two or ten or something. And, I don't want children. Be careful. I know some people that thought that, and they ain't got them, and they wish they could, and they can't. So I'd leave that up to the Lord, whether or not you want to have children. But Psalms 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." That's a reward for a woman to have a child. And we ought to see it that way. But so many today, and it has a lot to do with because of the way the world thinks, that they're just a problem. But they're not. But she also had a plan. You see, look at verse 12. It says, "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my heart and my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Verse 18, and she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Eli knew, and Elkanah, knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about that after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son. And she called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Now, it says Elkanah later on went back up once a year. She didn't go. She didn't take her kids. See, she had a plan, and her plan, she intended to raise that child, be a godly influence, persuading her child to seek God and to be in the Lord's will. Now, Jochebed. Who knows who Jochebed was? That was Eli's wife. Somebody say something. That was Moses' mom. Jochebed, she got to keep her little baby. It was supposed to be killed in Egypt. She got to keep it, I'm going to guess, probably about 5 years. Do you know that they've all the studies they've done, they say that a child learns it most of what they're going to keep and what they're going to be like for about the first 5 years of their life. And we thought they were just dingbats running around in the living room. You call them rugrats. They're learning. And they keep that with them. She taught that child, and then that child grew up under Pharaoh and all of the idol worship and the paganism, but it did not affect him because of what mom had taught. You see, Elkanah, his wife, Hannah, she was keeping that child at home, and she was raising it in the nurture of the Lord. She was educating it on God. And that's what we ought to be doing with our children. We ought to be taking care of them. What do you spend your time teaching your children? Think about that. What do you spend your time teaching your children? How to make money? Oh, I'm teaching them. They got to make sure they graduate from high school and go to college. Get this big, fine career. Listen, all that stuff is okay if it's in God's plan. But we ought to be teaching them what God's plan is. What's God's plan for them? Why not be teaching them, hey, what an honor it would be if it's a little boy to be called into the ministry, whether it's a mission field or whether it's pastoring a church. We ought to be teaching them that. We ought to be teaching our daughters that, hey, maybe it would be a really neat thing if you grew up and went to school and you ended up being a missionary's wife. Well, there ain't no money in that, and there ain't no prestige in that. In 100 years, who's going to give a rip what you did here? Except for what's for God. That'll go with you. The rest of your all your plaques and pretty little things you got in college and the trophies from softball and soccer and whatever it is you're into, all of that's going to stay hanging on the wall. It ain't going to heaven. I've seen people put stuff in the coffin. You know how dumb that is? It ain't going nowhere. It's down there in the ground. And it's going to stay there. And when the body's resurrected, guess what? It ain't going with you. The only thing that's going to go with the person that they accomplish here on earth is what they accomplish for God. But we're so that blame worried about whether or not they're going to be rich and whether or not they're going to go out and marry some doctor or whether they're going to make sure that they make it into pro sports. Are we teaching them about God? Do we spend as much time teaching them about God as we do everything else? I'm in the store yesterday. Here's a kid. He's lucky if he's 2. And he's operating an iPhone better than I can. That's sad. Amen. Ought not to be that way. But that's what they're doing now. She had a plan to raise her child. How do you pray for your child? How do you pray for your grandchild? Listen, the greatest verse in the Bible, write this down. 3 John chapter 4, the greatest verse in the Bible that a parent could have or a grandparent could have is 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Not that my child became a doctor. Who gives a rip? In 100 years, that kid will be dead. And oh, but look at all the people that this special child done all of this great work for. Yeah, and they'll all be dead too. And they'll either be in heaven or hell. But if we teach them about God, sure, they can do all of that. And while they're going to have surgery on them, they might say, oh, by the way, this is a rough surgery. You know the Lord's your Savior? You never know. They might do that. What a blessing it would be for a parent if you can honestly say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. You see, I've been on the grieving side of it. I've been on that side where I couldn't say that about my son, and it was heartbreaking, or my daughters. It was heartbreaking because I knew Sunday morning, where were they at? They wasn't in church. Probably sobering up, or they're out on the lake, or they're wherever wasting their money. I've been on that end myself. Where was I at on a Sunday? Las Vegas, and I wasn't at church, by the way. That's grieving to a parent to know that. Think about how it grieves God if you're a child of God. I didn't even get an amen on that. What you want to know is that when you read that, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What a blessing that is. I mentioned praying for children. You know what? There's a prayer in the Bible, and most folk don't even look at it as a prayer for children, but I want you to hear this prayer. The best way to pray for a child or a grandchild is Ephesians chapter 3. If you want to write it down, that's fine. If you want to look it up, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21, you can use this prayer for your child or your grandchild. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant Jimmy, that He would grant Jesse, that He would grant Marion, that He would grant whatever name your child goes by, that He would grant that child of yours, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. In other words, you're praying that hopefully they're saved, and you're saying, I want the Lord to grant according to this person, according to the riches of His glory, that Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a prayer for one of your children or grandchildren. And he said in verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen, if we'll pray this to God, He is able to go way above what we ever thought. We can harp on them all we want to. And what do they do? Well, Dad, you don't know nothing. You're dumb. That's what they think. Mom, you don't know. You know, Mom don't know nothing. Moms don't know anything. You know, moms and dads are the dumbest people on the face of this earth until you get about 50. Amen. And then you figure out, oh, you know, they wasn't so dumb. But, and listen, if we give it all to God, it says He is exceeding abundantly able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What's that power? The power of God works in us. The same power that rose Christ from the dead works in us. Amen. We turn our children over to Him. They're His anyway. We call them ours. They're not ours. They belong to God. Every one of them. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. If you notice in that prayer, it never said nothing about pray for little Johnny's health. Oh, we want healthy children, right? Well, of course we do. But it didn't never mention it in that prayer about praying for his health. It didn't mention in there about praying for his wealth, his career. Didn't mention any of that in there. Oh, Lord bless Johnny that he'll get it together and that he'll go and become a brain surgeon because God knows I need the money when I get old. It ain't in there. It says that he'll be educated in the Word of God, that he'll be in the will of God. You see, it's about placing them in God's hands, God's will, that maybe they'll seek a life of service for the Lord above everything else. Oh, I don't want him to be a preacher. Oh, gosh, they ain't got no money. They don't. I don't want her to marry a missionary because, well, he ended up hauling around to some foreign country and she'll have 15 kids. And they'll be in a foreign country. I won't ever see them. You know, there's people laughed when they found out that I surrendered to the ministry, laughed and said, good grief. What a waste of time. Well, they just got lazy. He won't work no more. Shoot, I put in more hours as a pastor than I ever did in the oil fields. Amen. Had more struggles as a pastor than I ever did in the oil fields. worked harder than I ever have in the ministry. Not just physical, but mentally. They don't have a clue. But you see, it's not about here, because in 100 years, nobody's going to care how fat my bank account was. But the Lord is going to look at me and say, hopefully, it's what I'm working toward. Well done. I'm not working toward my salvation, because there ain't nothing I can do to get that. I got saved by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But after that, I'm supposed to serve the Lord to the best of my knowledge, so that one of these days, He'll look at me and say, Jim, you done good. You could have done this, but hey, you done good. That'll be okay. I want Him to hear, well done. That's what I want to hear. We ought to be seeking that for our children. Let me tell you something. There is not a better feeling than when I go to bed at night and know that I've served the Lord to the best of my capacity. I've worked many hard days, and I loved shoeing horses. I'm serious. When I went to work, I loved my job and what I did for horses, and I tried to be the best I could. And I've seen horses that couldn't even move because of founder, and look at us. And when I was done with them, they could walk off somewhat. Some of them walked really well. Some of them just kind of hobbled around, because it's a bad deal. Their bone, by the way, inside their foot has rotated and it's coming out the bottom. My whole objection was to stop that. And then they would, and they got better and they got better and they got better. And wow, what it was exciting and rewarding, but it's never been as rewarding as serving the Lord. There's lots of nights I laid in bed after spending a whole day of shoeing horses and think, you know, I could have done this for the Lord, because the Lord was working on me all during those years. But now, when I lay down at night, I don't worry about things. I may think about some of them. I think about people lay out of church. And I wonder, I'm like, what's the Lord going to do to them? And I say, be merciful on them. And then I turn them all over to the Lord and I go to sleep. Because it's all in His hands anyway. You know, I couldn't do that before. I didn't have that peace. The last thing, we're doing good. She purposed in her heart to be persistent. In other words, she didn't give up. She didn't compromise with the world. She followed through with the vow that she promised God. You see, that's what a vow is. She vowed a vow. She said, Lord God, give me a baby and I'll give him to you. Just give me a child, that's what I ask, and I'll give him to you. And if you finish reading that story in chapter 1, you'll find out she did. She brought him to Eli, and she said, he belongs to the Lord. And Eli spent the rest of his life working for the Lord. And yeah, mom came back every year to see her baby. You see, we should give back to God what He give us, because it's already His anyway. Samuel became one of the greatest men that you read about in the Word of God. He was. He was a great servant. He was a humble servant. He didn't die a millionaire. He didn't have his name flashing on the neon signs and the billboards outside of Jerusalem. He wasn't real popular. But guess what? He's been gone, let's just throw one out there, 3,000 years, somewhere in that, plus or minus. But he's still known all over the world. You can ask people all over the world, do you know who Samuel was in the Bible? Oh, yeah. They all knew him. He's known throughout all of heaven. And you think about it. It all started with a woman praying. She wanted to be a mom. So ask yourself, are you a praying mom? I hope so. I know you say, well, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. Well, that's true. But we do have people listening. We got people watching. But how much do you pray for your child? And do you pray for them in a worldly way? Or do you pray for them in a godly way? Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come up.